Stick Gineppo on at left back. Keep Walker Peters on the bench. Because if you've no investment and you don't ask questions, then jawohl, I'm your mensch. Because Ralph's substitutions are a mystery, like the changing of the keepers, Danny Ings' transfer fee. But here's the one that's driving me berserk. Why do only Wolves and Forster work? La 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 la
la. Oh, shut up, you tart!
Welcome to another episode of ITN, episode 132. Title, Mush?
Only Wolves and Forster.
Yes, and you can tell from that theme tune at the start. Excellent, excellent work, Mush, as always. Although I thought, you know, a little bit over the top, perhaps. Much like a Bruno Fernandes penalty.
Hey, well, who dares, Raymond? Who dares?
Today, we will be mostly talking about Sunday afternoon's frustrating visit of Wolves. And we'll also discuss Tuesday's penalty shootout victory over Sheffield United at Bramall Lane.
I'd rather talk about that.
I would, yeah. We'll have Tim back with us, well, hopefully anyway, to help us prepare for our trip to Stamford Bridge next Saturday as we head into October. October already? Is that right?
I fucking believe it, man.
Yeah, soon be Christmas. But before all that, we have the one and only dipstick, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Milverton. Au revoir, Kevin.
Oh, shut up, you tart.
How are you after that?
Yeah, I won't say lovely jubbly, but it's definitely not. Frustrated, I think.
Frustrated is the word, yeah. I'm very, very, very frustrated with that. I just feel like I'm shaking my head all the way home. Just can't believe it. You don't put the performance in, you get what you deserve, don't you? So
yeah, exactly. How's your week been anyway, leading up to that dire end to it?
It's been a bit samey, you know. It's
fitting end to the week then.
Yeah, it's been busy with the double game week and stuff, but yeah, and then just a disappointing end to it with this result. But yeah, how's yours been anyway? I'm sure you've been a lot more busier than I have.
I've been quite busy, yeah, of course, but yeah, I was hoping that, you know, there'd be a bit of light relief with Russian Grand Prix and Saints with a chance to get 3 points. But yeah, at least the Grand Prix was interesting.
Well, I mean, you had a Ukrainian win a boxing title.
So. Oh, yeah.
I mean, this podcast will be out by Monday, so I'm guessing there's no spoilers, right? Everyone will know the result by then, so.
If you were hiding from it and you were listening to the Radio Silent, yeah, they repeated that quite a few times.
Okay.
But yeah, we didn't mention that, this is only Fools and Horses theme, not just because of the brilliant pun, but to pay tribute to the late John Challis, of course.
Yeah, devastating that was. That news came out during our recording last week, I believe, didn't it? And it was like, whoa, you know, because Only Fools and Horses was a massive part of growing up. Well, for both of us, really, wasn't it? And it's,
yeah, of course.
Boycie was my favourite. Just every scene with Boycie in is just something to remember. And it's really, really sad. Really sad. Difficult one, that.
Yeah, it was difficult because, I mean, I just saw on Twitter that he was doing a tour. He'd done some documentary about him in Serbia because Only Fools is quite popular out there. And he'd just come back and he's doing some sort of speaking tour. And the next thing I hear is he's dead.
Yeah, shocking. Devastating, but yeah. So this is our little ode to him.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we get into the news, just a quick reminder, if you appreciate what we do and you feel like you could buy us a pint, then please head to buymeacoffee.com/in that number.
Pint or whatever your tipple is. Baileys, yep. And Cherryade or...
Tea Maria and Lucasade.
Yes.
Right, shall we get into the ITN news, Mish?
Oh, you may as well.
Bonnet de douche.
This is
is ITN in that number news.
Okay then, Kevin, ITN news. I want to start off with the Jack Stevens news. News on his knee injury. It's not good. It's worse than we thought it was going to be. There's me saying last week that we could see him back after the international break. But he's out for around 3 months. That's horrible news for him and for the club. He's had problems with that right knee before, which is more problematic, I suppose. And there's tendon damage, I've heard. So, lengthy time then.
Yeah.
Chateau Neuf du Pape.
You're going to keep this up?
I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not. We did have Carabao Cup draw, of course, after our victory at Bramall Lane. And it's gifted us a trip to Stamford Bridge in round four. Yeah, thanks for that, Harry. Did you see Harry Redknapp was doing the draw? So thank you very much.
Deliberately didn't watch it for that reason.
That tie should be taking place on Tuesday the 26th or Wednesday the 27th of October, sandwiched between Burnley and Watford games on the Saturday. So probably the Tuesday, I reckon. I hope it's the Tuesday anyway, because it's Gemma's birthday on the Wednesday and I want to be watching the game.
Are you sure you want to be watching the game?
I don't know anymore. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, you think it could be... I mean, those games against Burnley and Watford are crucial. You'd think that he'd prioritise them if he had his wits about him.
Yep, just like the game next week, though. That's pretty crucial as well. And actually, while we're on the subject, fixtures for October then, Mush. Starting with that Chelsea one next week. Away, Stamford Bridge, tough one. And then we play Leeds at home, who are struggling. Burnley at home, who are also struggling. But then it's that Carabao Cup tie with Chelsea. And then we end the month with an away trip to Watford. So how many points are we going to pick up there? So that's Chelsea away. You've got the international break. Leeds at home, Burnley at home, Chelsea in the cup, Watford away. We've got to be taking points against Burnley and Watford, yeah? You have to.
Yeah, I think. I mean, people are asking questions now about Ralph. They will be if we don't get anything from those. I was looking a little bit further ahead because the November fixtures have been announced. And Saints against Villa at home. Fireworks are going to go up on Bonfire Night as they come to St Mary's on Friday the 5th at 8 p.m. It's going to be a tasty little fixture, isn't it?
That is, yeah. And Tim is coming over for that game. So, and hopefully you, Lucky Kevin. People.
Well, yeah, can I dream?
Oh, but yeah, back to my question. How many points?
6.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm thinking points against Burnley and Watford. I mean, I'll take a point against Leeds. Probably going to lose to Chelsea, aren't we? So, I mean, I'll be happy with 7. And then progressing in the cup. That'll be nice. That'll be a good month.
It would be, yeah.
Before we get into Lone Watch, Kevin, have you got any news that you want to add?
Just a couple of bits. I mean, we talked about Jack Stevens' injury being serious. Stu's still out with that nondescript injury. However, Walcott is back in training, so that's good news, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was going to be included in the squad today, if I'm honest.
A couple of other bits of news. Apparently, I'm not quite sure why the transfer rumours have started already, but
I didn't realise they had.
Well, apparently we're interested in Hull winger King Lewis Potter. So, yeah.
Okay.
You heard it here. I'm amazed at how many sponsors that we can announce in one season. But Learn Crypto is the club's new training kit partner. And I wouldn't mention it at all if it wasn't for the negative reaction on social media. It's basically another form of gambling and education platform is just basically another front for gambling in a different form. Although I have heard that the government's looking to step in and ban gambling companies as football shirt sponsors.
Yep, I've heard that too. That'll be that'll be welcomed, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't imagine they'd lose a huge amount of revenue, but they'd find a way to get the names of these companies plastered everywhere.
Of course. Of course they will. Lone Watch, Kevin?
Go on then.
Kane Ramsey, crew, lost 3-1 to Morecambe. He played all 90 minutes. And then they were away to Rotherham on Saturday and they drew 1-1, a 91st minute equaliser from the spot. And again, he played all 90 minutes of that one. They remain in 23rd place. Dan and Lindelöf's Lincoln away to Burton on Saturday. Big, big win. 2-1. And Lindelöf started for the first time, but was taken off with 2 minutes to spare. And now they have moved up to 17th. So there's some light for Lincoln. And Crawley Town's Will Ferry, home to Bradford on Saturday. They won 2-1 and he scored his first goal. So great news for Will Ferry. And they've moved up to 8th now, Crawley. Dizzy. Mm. Next week, Kevin, we have to do our player and goal of the month for September. We only scored 2 goals, so it's going to be, it's going to be a 50-50 one, that. But we need to put these polls up in the week, so you're going to do that, I guess.
Yeah, I'll have to do what Southampton FC do and include the women and B team, although the B team's not scoring.
No. Certainly not. And speaking of the B team, more misery for them at home at St Mary's last Sunday. Lost 2-0 to Burnley. Harry Lewis was sent off in the first half. And then home to West Brom at the Snow Stadium on Thursday evening. They lost 6-0. Just keeps getting worse. It cannot continue like this, can it?
Bojack out.
Your Bojack Gal, Ralph, everyone's getting out. Everyone's out. Next up, they got Birmingham on Monday the 27th, and that's a 1:30 kickoff. That's a strange time for a Monday. Never mind. Women's. Again, the women's. I mean, they've been on an international break, haven't they? But today they played at the Snow Stadium to the London Bees, and another win. 5-0 this time. That's 6 from 6. Top of the league. Ipswich have also won 6 from their 6. But we top them by 6 goals. So, I mean, they're banging in the goals as well. I mean, if we've won 2 games 9-0 and we've, you know, we just beat London Bees 5-0, it just goes to show that Ipswich are banging in some goals as well, because the goal difference is pretty close.
Yeah, I think it just shows the rift in quality in that league. Southampton women are they're the creme de la menthe.
Yes, very well done. Next up, Kevin, they've got Keynsham Town. Do you know where Keynsham is? Little geography question for you.
Ooh, I don't know where it is.
I know, I had to check this because I didn't know. It's actually Bath, Somerset area.
Okay.
So there you go, I taught you something. That's next Sunday, Sunday the 3rd, a 2 p.m. kickoff as usual. Yes, okay. So anyway, Sheffield United.
You dozy little twonk, Rodney.
Okay, Kevin, Carabao Cup. Third round, Sheffield United, Bramall Lane, 2-2. 1-41 penalties, of course. Debut goals from Ibrahima Diallo and Mohamed Salisu. Ender Stevens with theirs and that Ollie McBurney. Ugh, hate him. Fraser Forster with 2 crucial penalty saves to put us into the fourth round. Good stuff. Now, as we expected, Kev, lots and lots of changes. 9 of them are coming in. Forster, great effect. Valerie, Lianco, Salisu, Perro, Diallo, Teller, Gineppo and Broya. Only Redmond and Romeu kept their places from the league game. I was really happy to see Teller back in there, Kevin, and Broya get the start. Of course, big phrase as well. Finally able to get a first look at Lianco. And by all accounts, it wasn't a great start to his Saints career, was it, Kevin?
Not at all, by any measure.
Now, this game wasn't live, was it? So we couldn't watch it. So I'm just going to discuss the main topics from the highlights that I saw in this one. Firstly, the Ender Stevens goal. It was just a low cross one at Stevens, all alone at the back post, and an easy finish. We were just all over the place there.
Yeah, there was a little bit of pressure early on. I mean, we did have odd couple of chances. You'd think that we'd be the team that would be dominating. But yeah, on their first real major chance. Perot beaten quite easily on the wing, and Jaden Bogle managed to find Ender Stevens, and it's just, yes, a little low left footed shot in there. That was a big worry.
So much space, wasn't there?
So, yeah.
Why is no one watching him?
I mean, it's a sign of things to come, and the defence was all over the place, but it did make for quite an exciting and open match. I listened to it live on Radio Silent.
Joe Tessem.
I love Dave Merrington and Adam Blackmore, But yeah, Joe Tessin's an interesting choice of commentator.
But then, Kevin, the equaliser, Diallo, first goal for the club, a nice, easy header from a Romeu cross.
Yeah, I mean, he had a couple of chances leading up to that, just within a few minutes. Diallo was getting all over the place. He was he had a crack from distance about 20 minutes in, and then missed from close range just before that that goal. And yeah, clever play from Valerie just to lay the ball off to Romeu, and lovely cross from Romeu. And Diallo guides a nice little header just inside the post from the centre of the box. But it wasn't the strongest or heaviest of ever headers. I think if Romeu had hit that, it would have had more force than it. Just sort of just floated in.
Seemed to stay in the air for a while, didn't it?
Mm.
But Sheffield United had their chances, Kev. I mean, Lianco was caught in possession. Well, he was quite a bit. And Dai puts the ball through Salisu's legs and he sticks it wide. I remember seeing that one thinking, my goodness, if this is a Premier League side in form, then they could get 6 or 7 against us.
I think they must have looked at Lianco and saw him as the weakest link. Just you put enough pressure on him, it's his debut. He hasn't played in England before, doesn't really know this type of football that Sheffield United like to play. They just brutalised them.
Yeah, it was what they had to do, I guess. But Salisu gets on the score sheet for the first time too. A low cross into a busy box and Salisu's just in front of everybody else. And just a little tap, so 2-1. It was, lovely. Loved the celebration too.
Yeah, it was definitely. I mean, both of them got their first goal for Saints. I think Diallo said after the match it's his first goal that he'd ever scored.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, Ralph didn't even know that. Oh. It was a good goal. Teller, again, I don't think Teller's performance definitely says that he should be starting.
Nathan Redmond's, but, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, Ralph seems to rely on him for something. He sees something there that we don't, but
I think they're just trying to take the pressure off of himself by putting Redmond in the firing line.
Oh God, well, he's the fool guy. Then I feel sorry for him. Yeah, he was still open. I mean, it was Ollie McBurney versus Lianco, that like a kind of heavyweight battle. I'm surprised that neither of them got sent off, to be honest.
Probably should have done, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, they both got booked in that little weird ruckus that happened in the middle of the first half. And yeah, McBurney definitely should have been booked later on. Lianco had a quite dodgy challenge just before he got hooked off, a quite timely substitution. It's his dodgy pass towards James Ward-Prowse that gives the ball away.
Goodness
for their
me.
Second goal.
Criminal.
That's fucking awful. I mean,
what a plonker.
Yeah, you say 42 carat plonker.
Yeah, just awful. What a shocker.
They couldn't stop talking about that for the rest of the match. It was just absolutely shocking. But I mean, that's the price you pay when you start trying to play out from the back against a really physical side like Sheffield United.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. And there was a bright spark from Pero on the wing when he swung in that pinpoint cross to Shea Adams. That was fantastic, and he probably should have scored that one.
I mean, I don't think it's on Shea. It was an absolute miracle save from their keeper.
Of course, yeah.
Fodingham?
Fotheringham, yeah.
Fotheringham, yeah. I've just written it down strangely. But yeah, I mean, it was just point-blank range. He's managed to tip it around the post.
Yeah, it's almost as if we need someone to put the ball in the box in Premier League games. But,
Can't expect that much, can I?
So it was 2-2, and it went to a penalty shootout, of course. And I'll give you the scorers just quickly. James Ward-Prowse scored his. Norwood scores for them. Adams scores for us. Brewster was saved. Done that little those little steps in his run up, which I know that you like, Kev.
Yes, and I love Brewster so much. So I was really sad that his pen was saved.
And then Broya had it saved, and Osborne scored, put it back level again. Diallo scored. That was a lovely pen, by the way.
Fair play to him.
And then McBurney, saved, gutted, and then Romeu scores the deciding penalty. So that was it. We go through to the fourth round and ultimately play Chelsea. But Kev, Lianco, not the best of starts for him, as we said. Caught in possession quite a bit. Gave the ball away. Solely responsible for that second goal. But look, I mean, we've got to be patient with him, haven't we? It's his first game in English football. He doesn't speak the language either. It's slightly different, you could say, to the Italian league. But
hello, mate.
But I mean, we're here for it, right? We're here for it. It's going to take time, especially for a centre half. It took Solisi some time. It's still taking him time. Sure.
Yes, yeah, I mean, it's taken any of the defenders time. He got away, well, not scot-free, but he got away fairly lightly. I mean, that's a performance that you probably can forget. If he had got sent off, then, that might have been a bit more difficult for him. But, yeah, I mean, dawdling in the first half, got robbed by Ndiaye. McBurney just making his life hell throughout the first half. And then in the second, he got moved into the right of a back three. I think to take him away from that confrontation with McBurney and then give him a bit more cover in the form of Romeu. But yeah, on the whole, shaky debut. Yeah, I just hope that he gets another chance. Although, you know, you don't want to put him in for a Premier League match, do you? And our next cup game's against Chelsea, so let's hope we get an easy draw in the FA Cup. And then
give
him a confidence-boosting game.
Yeah, man of the match, Kev. It's a little difficult to judge because, you know, we didn't watch the game. We're only going on highlights. From what I saw, Pero looked good in the, you know, brief bits that I saw. A few overlaps with Gineppo again. It looked like they were striking up a good partnership. Put that beautiful cross in also. But I'm gonna have to give it to Forster for his penalty saves. And, you know, he's the reason we're in the next round after all. You know, pressure on him too because he slipped back down the pecking order behind McCarthy. And, you know, one more slip could be costly for him. So, and you can't blame him for the goals that they scored either. So, yeah, he's the reason that we're there. So Fraser Forster is the man of the match for me.
Fair play to you, yeah. I mean, for me, it was a toss-up. toss-up.
McBurney!
Shut up, nerve to pat. Yeah, it was a toss-up between Big Fraser and Diallo. I did want to give it to Big Fraser because he did pull off two saves in the penalty shootout and kept us in the cup. He did let in two, but on the other hand, he was let down by the defence in front of him. But again, first goal in his career, and I think on the whole, a performance that's difficult to sniff at, to be honest. Yeah, a lot of other players came in for a lot of criticism. I mean, but aside from Lianco, Valerie just looked lost. Didn't really link up with Teller as well as Perot and Gineppo did. Breuer was just completely invisible. But yeah, two goals from very unexpected places from Solisu and Diallo. So yeah, I really want to give it to Ibra.
Okay, that's brilliant. Yeah, as I said, on to the fourth round where we meet Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. Twice to the bridge in a month. Great. But Bain Marie, Kevin, there's another game this week. And it was just now. Wolves, 1-0 loss. A goal from Raul Jimenez after 61 minutes. It just had to be him, didn't it? Had to be. Just the one change from that City draw, obviously loads from the Sheffield United game, but the one enforced change, Solisi comes in for Stevens, which we expected. Kevin, looking at this lineup, Ralph had to stick with what worked against City, right?
Yeah.
Why Redmond?
Yeah, it's the eternal question, isn't it?
I mean, I suppose the only shock was for them, really, because Adama Traore was on the bench and I'm sure Livramento was pleased with that.
Yeah, I did hear a rumour that he was injured or something, that he was suffering from a knock or something. But yeah, he was in the squad, so it can't have been true.
Yeah, I was surprised that he was on the bench, in all honesty. Right, OK, Mush, shit first half, really, wasn't it? It wasn't a lot to discuss, aside from the first 20 seconds, I suppose. Nelson Semedo gets clear and forces a save from Maka.
Yeah, I mean, that was like within the first couple of minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, 45 seconds in, yeah.
Wow, yeah, I mean, if I was in the stadium, I probably would have missed that, wouldn't I?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've got so many notes here, but to be honest, I can't really remember much of it. It was quite quite dull. Yeah, I mean, Armstrong was looking much better in the first half than he did in the second.
Well, I mean, from what I saw, a lot of turnovers from both sides. It was a lot of slow build up from the back. And as soon as they get into the final third, it was given away and the other team would have a go. So it was cagey. It was very even. And it just goes to show that both teams were really struggling to find the net. And I think this was the result of it. And even at half time, I said to Alex, actually, this has got 0-0 written all over it because I can't see anybody scoring. And you felt if a goal was going to come, it was going to come from a major, major mistake.
Yeah, which it did.
Which it did, yeah. And Romelu, I thought, looked uncharacteristically poor today. I thought he gave the ball away a lot. I thought he was dallying on the ball. Yeah, I just felt that on the whole, we just weren't doing enough. I mean, it's the same story, isn't it, with Saints? They never seem to be. You can have all the possession that you want, and as soon as you get into that final third, they look absolutely clueless. And to be fair, Wolves were that as well.
Yeah, I mean, in the first half especially, it did look like anybody's game, and it wasn't really end-to-end stuff. It was sort of middle-to-middle stuff, or
that's it,
backward to sideways stuff. I mean, I don't know where that high press has gone and the high line and the counter-attacks. I mean, whenever we got possession, you know, rather than send it forward quickly, like Ralph likes, just, yeah.
Laboured, yeah.
Almost like a Claude Puel era.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I think the only time that we did the high press was when Jose Sarr touched the ball, when you could see that, you know, Adams and Armstrong were closing him down. But other than that, no, there wasn't enough of it. Not enough urgency. But just before the half, I felt like it was swinging our way a little bit more. We had more possession. The crowd was getting louder. And, you know, I thought we could grab one before the break. And I thought we did when Redmond put it in off the bar, but it was flagged offside.
Yeah, it was offside. Yeah, I mean, that's the story of it, really. I mean, there weren't many chances. And to be fair to Redmond, the crosses he did manage to get in the box, I mean, when he did, there wasn't really anyone there to meet them anyway.
That's the story, yeah.
Armstrong and Che just not getting into spaces. Seem to be sticking too close to the defenders, and you're not going to get through them. I mean, Wolves, to be fair to them, quite good in defence.
Yeah, but they didn't have to be any better, did they, really? And, you know, at the half, I thought we were the better side. We had more chances, and I can't think of McCarthy doing anything other than that early Semedo shot. But whenever we had the ball in those wide positions, we were just like, it was like hitting and hoping. And making it easy for Wolves to deal with. So you say they were doing well defensively. I mean, it wasn't difficult for them because we just didn't have that urgency. It's like we cross a line when we get to that section of the pitch and it's just like, oh, what do we do?
Yeah, or
switch the play. Let's go backwards. Or we just hoof it into the box and let them hit
the
clip.
And then, there's no one there to meet it. So, yeah.
It's clueless. Absolutely clueless.
I mean, we thought that Armstrong was a replacement for Danny Ings, and, you know, judging from his first couple of performances, we thought, well, we might be onto something here because he seemed to play in a similar way. But, you know that Danny would be getting into those spaces. We just need someone willing to pull the trigger.
Yeah, there was a lot of occasions where we had the ball just outside the box and we were shouting, shoot, and it was just like it was closed down quickly enough. And then it was just like, yeah, turn around, switch the play. And then it ends up going back to Salisu or something like that.
Well, that got to ridiculous on that shouting shoot when Prowsey or Romelu get it 30 yards out. I mean, that's not constructive, is it?
Well, no, because Romelu did have a shot, didn't he? And it went wildly over.
I think the commentators that I was watching said they almost hit the scoreboard.
Yeah, it probably did. But yeah, the second half was better. It was better. And it did look like something was going to happen. It was quite end to end. It was more urgent. I guess the players decided that they needed to actually make something happen. And Wolves did. Goal kick from Sarr went straight to Jimenez, making our centre backs look awful. Bednarek's just not strong enough there. Just made to look like a mug.
And Salisu.
And then Salisu. Yeah, just, oh, goodness me. What happened there?
I mean, each of them was beaten by Jimenez twice. I mean, fantastic finish. Catapulted it into the back of the net. Don't think you really blame Maka for that. But yeah, you think they had four chances to stop him and they couldn't.
It's always the way, though, isn't it?
Yep.
And then they made some substitutions. Gineppo, Broya come on for Adams and Redmond.
I got to say, I was confused by the subs.
Oh, you're not the only one.
This is a recurring theme, isn't it? But Redmond comes off. Okay, for Gineppo, I'd accept that. Redmond wasn't effective. Gineppo, he's got that sort of X factor. But just as Adams was starting to look a bit of a threat, Rav takes him off.
Brings Broya on.
Broya on, who didn't really do that much.
He didn't do anything, and he didn't do anything, like you said, against Sheffield United either. It looks like he was riding high on that Newport game still.
Is he resting on his laurels, you think? I mean, he did have a nice little run on the counter after.
Yes.
We got, I think they had a corner, didn't they? It was cleared up to him. Saar reads it quite early and just rushes out to punch it away or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. He did well with that. Keeper did well. Wolves keeper Saar, yeah, he did.
Yeah, he's
well.
A good keeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they lost Rui Patricio, yeah, and they bring him in. Now, Kevin, I know time wasting is part of the game. I mean, everybody does it. Yep. But I don't remember there being a worse case than this for me. I mean, was it just me? Because Wolves were it's shameful. It was from 70 minutes, they slowed everything down. I think Marcel had cramp about four or five times. Saar was a bloody disgrace there. And the referee was just letting it happen too. That was so frustrating because it's almost like the referees don't know it happens.
Yeah, it's normally the keeper, isn't it, that gets booked for time wasting and taking a goal kick or something like that. But if you've got a player down, it's difficult, isn't it, to
drag him off the fucking pitch. Let him have treatment off the pitch and carry on the game. If you're going to stop the game like that, there was nothing wrong with him. Absolutely nothing wrong with him. If you're going to slow the game down like that, get off the pitch and go down a man for a minute.
You're right. Yeah, there was some more cramp on there than Everest expedition.
Yeah, I thought Ruben Neves was down with cramp as well, but it turns out I was like, what the hell is it? He's only just come on. He ain't got cramp. Then I realised it was Tino. I thought it was him instead. And I thought, oh, okay, I'll let him off because he's been playing. But they were just, it was, Kev, it was, to me, worst case of time wasting I think I've ever seen.
Well, I mean, they must have just looked at Brentford's performance against them before this match and said, like, learn from them. Yeah. Shithouse the way to a victory.
Yeah. It worked. Another substitution which had me very, very surprised. Kyle Walker-Peters off, Shane Long on. Interesting one, Kev. Not Teller, but Shane Long.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I am a fan of Shane Long, blimey.
Desperate.
He had a chance as well.
He did, yeah.
And he managed to put it behind for a corner. So decent build-up. Gineppo with a nice little flick. And Salisu, of all people, puts it across to him. And you
how frustrating was Gineppo, though?
Not as frustrating as Redmond, I'd say.
I don't know, because can he pass? Has he got that in his locker? Because everything that he was doing was going straight to a black shirt. It was so frustrating. I just, oh.
If he doesn't have time to think about it, he can do it.
Yeah.
But give him too much time on the ball and he'll end up in the side netting.
Yeah. I mean, I heard a fan say on the way home that Ralph clearly doesn't care about this team enough now because, you know, making subs like that, it's almost as if he's given up. Shane Long for Walker-Peters with, you know, you've got Nathan Teller on the bench. You know, what's he doing? You know, why do you think he's had enough now?
Ralph? No, yeah. I don't think he's the sort of person to give up like that.
It just seems very strange to me. It's just like he's not been included at all. This season, and then all of a sudden you desperately need a goal and you bring on someone who's as cold as Shane Long.
It's a toughie, isn't it? I mean, he's had a couple of goals, isn't he? And he got a couple towards the end of last season as well. Shane Long, I can't remember the last time he scored.
Probably that Watford one after 7 seconds. It was that long.
Oh, ago. Right.
I don't know.
He scored recently with his cock, didn't he?
Yeah. But yeah, that was it. You know, Wolves limped over the line. More time wasting. They got there in the end. And I said last week, Kevin, that these are the sort of games that we fuck up. And I was right because we needed this win badly. We have no goals again. And it's a huge problem now. From last week, right, okay, we looked good. We looked at it and thought, okay, we've just got a point off of Man City in their own backyard. You know, and then on Tuesday, we were into the next round of the Carabao Cup. At what point do we need to look at ourselves and say we're just not good enough for this league at the moment? We're in trouble this season now. I know it's September, and I know it's really, I'm not going to say it, but I said at the start of the season where we were going to finish. We can't score. We can't create enough. And this is a massive, massive problem. We're feeling the effects of Danny Ings.
Yeah. I think the results up to this match have been decent. The performances haven't necessarily been blistering, but that lack of goals is definitely catching up on us now. And yeah, something needs to happen. I don't see it happen against Chelsea, but those fixtures in October, the other fixtures in October, something needs to come out with that.
Absolutely, yeah. Have you got any stats for this game, Kevin?
Just the basics. How many shots do you think we had then?
Four.
Well, Wolves had four. We had 18.
Really? My goodness, I don't remember that. Are you sure you're looking at the right thing?
I'm sorry, this is Manchester City. six. It was six, yeah. Because I think at one point it was a 2-1 shots on target. And then very quickly we had quite a few shots in succession.
That's right.
Putting a bit of pressure on.
Sarr had a double save, didn't he, at one point, yeah.
Yeah, that was... we didn't talk about that, did we?
Oh, because it didn't go in, that's why.
See, it's a game like this just completely throws me off. Completely lose all enthusiasm for everything that I hold dear.
Life.
Life in general, yeah. So we had six shots on target to their three. That's the most frustrating bit, I think. Did control possession 57%, and that's about it. I don't have XG.
No, I can't imagine it being very, very high. Well, I don't know, with 18 shots, yeah.
Oh, I don't even want to look.
Man of the match, Kev. This is going to be a difficult one.
I'm not sure, to be honest. I've definitely got a candidate.
Okay. Would you like to share your candidate?
Tino Livramento.
He's mine too. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know my criteria is normally who gets me out of my seat the most. And from what I could hear, the crowd was all shouting his name.
Yeah.
And yeah, just the usual Tino performance. Great runs, beating the wingers.
Some nasty tackles as well.
Yeah, brutal. And he just didn't do like a sort of 360 like dribble around someone.
Yeah, that was brilliant. I think it was I think it was it Traore at that point? Had he been on the field by then? Or was it no, it might have been Raul Jimenez actually. He was like gunning him down and he went one way, then he went the other, then he went back on himself and hoofed the ball up the wing to Elianusi, I believe. But yeah, it was great, I thought to me, he looked the best with the ball. That was simple as that. And I thought those tackles as well. And he had that shot, which was saved, which I thought was in for 1 minute. I think I was just like urging it to go in more so. But yeah, Kev, personally, I think that we need to play him further forward in place of Elianusi. Put Kyle Walker-Peters back to right back and then play Perreault and Gineppo down that left.
I like Perreault and Gineppo as a combination. And yeah, I think... You know, Ralph's got to try something to upset teams because, I mean, his play, I mean, he did his job. He put in the work. It's just, the end product's not there. But you think, maybe getting him a bit further up, he'd be able to get better crosses into the box and, I don't know, maybe even have a crack himself.
Absolutely. Well, he did, didn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, he hasn't scored yet, has he?
He has not, no. Okay, so that leaves us 16th now, 4 points, no wins, 4 draws and 2 losses. With Chelsea at Stamford Bridge next week. So, yeah, good. Good stuff.
You know, I mean, yesterday I was watching the matches that were going, and if Burnley had scored a couple more, we would have been in the relegation zone going into this match. Somehow we're outside of it, despite losing today.
Well, I mean, hold that thought, because, I mean, Newcastle, Leeds, Burnley and Norwich are below us, right? Norwich play Burnley next week. Leeds have got Watford and Newcastle have got Wolves. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. We need to be winning these games because it will all come back to this. It will come back to this, these sorts of games, and that this will haunt us. I'd say it all the time. But yeah. Right, okay, should we look ahead for Chelsea?
Go on then.
Oh, you stupid old git.
Okay, we want to welcome back Tim. This week he's here. Last week you were not. How are you, Tim?
Hi, Dave.
Things are pretty well. I guess we can share the fun now that we're all excited that I'm heading on over to the UK here. In just about 6 weeks or so, we'll be there for the November 5th game. Looks like a Friday night game against Villa at home with Danny Ings' return.
Spicy.
Sparks are going to fly.
It's exciting.
Sparks are certainly going to fly. It's firework night as well. So yes, and hopefully you bring some luck with you because we're lacking it at the moment. And that game today was just a little bit frustrating, to say the least.
That was way more than a little frustrating. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm sitting there and I'm just like,
playing it down a bit. Me and Kev have had our say. So.
It was mostly just sighing into the microphone.
Yeah. Just if you could see me, my head is in my hands. like it was at the stadium, to be honest, as well. But yeah. Anyway, Tim, we have Chelsea next week. It doesn't get any easier. That is Saturday, the 2nd of October. 3 p.m. kickoff at Stamford Bridge. What is their nickname?
The Blues.
Yes, or?
Bitch on a pension.
Pensioners, yeah, well done, Kev. I'll take that. Famous fans?
Roman Abramovich.
Does he count as a fan?
Hang on.
No, you're not going to cheat, are you? You're not going to look.
Nah, go on then. Again, give me clues.
Actor, you're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
Michael Caine. Michael Caine, of course.
Sir Michael Caine, I'll have you know. Double act with Frost. Based.
Tim from Space. Oh, God. Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg, yeah. Former Conservative Prime Minister.
John Major?
Yes, John Major. Well done. Celebrity chef.
Gordon fucking Ramsay.
Yeah, well done. And I got Sir Richard Attenborough, or Lord Attenborough. I don't know what he is. Anyway, now nobody cares again because we go on this little tangent. Tim. They've switched off now, yeah. Well, I have to stay on to listen to our Only Fools and Horses end theme because, yeah, it's definitely worth it. Tim, Chelsea. They've got the players. They've got the manager. Make no mistake, they are challenging for the title. I know they lost at home to Man City yesterday, but I mean, they are still going to be challenging for this title right to the end, I believe. And surprisingly, our record at Stamford Bridge is not that bad at all. I mean, it was that 3-3 thriller last year and, you know, 2-0 winners in 2019. Last time we lost there, it was December 2017. Now, I had to check that twice because it didn't seem right to me, but can we cause another upset here, Tim?
I'm going to take the optimistic route. And when last time we talked, we were talking about Man City and using this as a buffer game between when they had to play Leipzig right before and then had to bridge into us. So feeling like we were the trap game, or no, I guess the equivalent of a trap game, basically the butter game between all of their UCL bouts. So on Wednesday, they are playing Juventus away. So I feel that their focus right now, and they are not looking at us as an opportunity, and I feel that Man City itself was a situation where it got into Pep's head. It got into that, and all Ralph did was prepare and lock down a defense, and that's why we were able to hold it 0-0. Now, that was at the detriment to our attack, and I think we're realizing now that our attack is pretty bleak. But seeing that Chelsea having that 5-2-3 or 3-5-2 formation, I think we're still have an opportunity to get a draw away, and that would not be upsetting to me in any bit. So seeing all that, watch, we'll get thrashed like 6-1 or something stupid, and I'm just going to eat my own words. But do we have a chance? Yes, because we had that game, like I said, with 2-0, where Obafemi had that real just opposite footed shot when we had a rotated squad in over the holiday break.
Yeah, that was and Boxing Day, I believe. Yeah.
Yes, it was. And then now we have the we had the 3-3 draw last, where we had the last second with the Vestergaard header. Mm. And what is the realistic outcome? That we will lose. But I'm actually going to take the optimistic route and actually think, well, we will get a draw. So in my prediction later, that's where spoiler alert. So looking at that, he's got tons of flexibility. Normally they play a 5-2-3 formation, or like kind of like a 3-5-2. Expect to see some rotation going in, because it actually is the game right before the international break. But even with that, their focus is still on Juventus, and I think you'll see individuals looking for that rotation. So that's CHO, so Hudson-Odoi, Chalaba, who's been really good, and even Chilwell potentially as an opportunity, even though Alonso seems to have solidified that left wing back spot there. Now, they could also push for more of a high attacking 4-3-3. Who knows? It's a little bit all over the place. Tuchel is great at being able to flexing his squad, and since he's come in, he's locked down that defense. So we'll see what happens. I think they'll still stick with that more of that 5-2-3, but with that 5-2-3, the right wing back would be Hudson-Odoi, because he is much more of attacking presence. So looking at their formation, seeing now that they are third. Yeah, they're sitting third on 13 points. They won't rotate all that much, but they'll still rotate a little bit. Mendy, and I'm going to take Chilwell. It'll be a kind of a soft soft guess that they'll rotate. Then we're going to look at somebody like Christensen and Rudiger. I think this is an opportunity for them to sit Thiago Silva. Azpilicueta will be that right back, along with CHO, with Hudson-Odoi, just because I think they're going to be getting so far up that they can do that. I also think for the rotation, this is where Saul will come in, but if he doesn't, it's Kovacic and Jorginho. And then we're going to look at a very attacking lineup of like Ziyech, Havertz, and Lukaku, or something like that, or even Werner, just kind of rotation. Their depth is ridiculous. It's disgusting. And their second team is stronger than our first team, unfortunately.
Yeah, they could put Tuchel out as well, couldn't they? He could play himself, yeah, and they'd still come out with a win.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're looking at what's the key battle? It's going to be the center backs, because we pretty much know now that it's going to be Salisu and Bednarek. One of the things that I saw was Romeo was dropping back significantly, and then splitting the center backs to kind of get that possession and get going forward. Out of the four, if we looked at last year, Vestergaard and Stevens were kind of like-minded, where they had the passing, and then you had the blocker, the bulldozer. So that's Salisu and Bednarek. So right now we're not looking at very good passing or movement going forward from them. But if they are able to stop and hold down Lukaku, Salisu can then solidify himself as a damn good center back. And we'll see what happens. It's tough, but full faith that we can get a draw out of this, but the realistic would not be that way. And I think our formation is going to stay the same today. I don't think we're going to rotate one bit. I think Ralph is going to stick with the same thing, and that's what we're going to try, rather than a 4-1-4-1 that we did with West Ham.
Predictions then, I'm guessing, well, Tim, you can go first, actually, because you've already predicted a draw. So tell us, is it going to be a score draw?
It's going to be 4-0. Chelsea's going to win. No, I'm sticking with what I'm saying. It's a 1-1.
Fucking hell. I don't know where you're getting your confidence from. I really don't. Alex is going for 1-0 Chelsea. Again, I don't know where he's getting his confidence from. Kevin, what are you going with?
Well, apparently I'm very confident.
Okay, you're going 1-0?
Yes.
Chelsea. That is very, very confident. 1-0 Chelsea. We're going to get absolutely spanked. I think I can't even see us scoring like today. I never saw us scoring a goal. We're struggling to do that. We're struggling to move the ball past the certain final third. And I can't see anything other than a big Chelsea win. So I'm going to take a 3-0 Chelsea win.
Christ.
Yeah.
That'd put us four games without a goal.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you look at the teams around us, all the games that are happening between them, we could be in the relegation zone before the international break. And then, you know, you just think about how crucial those games against Watford and Burnley are going to be. Gemma is going for a 0-0, Kev.
She's sticking to her word then, huh?
She's doing it. She's going 0-0. What about Marina and Abby?
2-0. Chelsea's going to win.
Tim just just said it for me. Well, Tim said for both. Yeah, she's also going 2-0.
Oh, brilliant. Tim, thanks, mate. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
No problem. And we will see you soon. See you soon, yeah.
Hope so.
Looking forward to it.
You dipstick.
Welcome back to the Extra Time segment. We start with predictions. So Wolves, then. I said 1-1. You said 2-0 Saints. Tim said 2-1 Wolves. And Alex said 2-0. Sorry, Tim said 2-1 Saints. And Alex said 2-0 Saints. So again, no one scores any points again, but I just want to say I was closest. 9 points to me, 9 points to you, 6 to Tim and 2 to Alex. Wife wars, Kevin?
I mean, it's a similar story there. None of our better halves bettered our predictions. So it's all unchanged. Marina on 9, Gemma on 8, Abby and Caitlin on 6.
Blended. Super 6. You can still join the league, by the way, if you want the code. Ask me for it, or I can just give it here, actually. YZLCSM. Your points will be rolled over, no problem, so don't worry. Round 10 was won by Laura Maratsing and Stuart Porteous with 17 points apiece, leaving the overall lead Colin Carter on 94. Fantasy football, Kevin?
I mean, I'm still shit, but I'm slightly more proud of my results here this time. A few goals in here. Tony and St. Maximan and Salah all bagging a goal. And both of my keepers kept clean sheets. I wish I could have both of them in.
Well, you could have if you'd have done the boost, the bench boost.
Yeah, but I need subs. I've got players who aren't even playing, Mason Mount and Konstantinos Tsimikas. But yeah, on the whole, I think it's taking a little bit of better shape. I'm still shite though. At the bottom of that. I'm not at the bottom. Fucking hell, Jamie Allen's got an awful team. Thank you for not allowing me to be bottom, Jamie. Freddie still King Havoc at the top, Ollie Boast and Matt Markstone not far behind on 400 points. Yeah, I can only dream of such big numbers. It's Aston Villa, Newcastle United and Bobby Brown's Magical Saints, the top three. Within a few points of each in the 430s. So interesting who comes out top. Lucy Hoynat has been having a couple of other problems. She's got Luke Shaw as well. Ronaldo, captain, didn't do anything for her this time. Ouch. What about your team?
Yeah, not very good this week.
Rafinha?
Rafinha, Salah, captain, Tony, same as you, pretty much. Yeah. Maguire, who got injured. Bamford, who didn't play, which was a shocker.
Well, he's out for a while, didn't he?
Yeah, I didn't know. I thought he was in, so I had him in. I need to change him now. I'll have probably Billy Gilmore will come on, who scored none. Great. So yeah, not great.
Not too far to jump in.
Oh, okay. Well, then an extra 2 points.
Yay.
Right. But other than that, pretty shit. Kevin, do you have a Russian phrase this week?
I do. This week's Russian phrase is Durakam Vizyot.
Durakam Vizyot.
Yeah, that's very good. Durakam Vizyot.
Durakam Vizyot.
Fools get lucky.
Okay.
Do you want to guess why that's the Russian phrase?
No.
It's what only fools and horses is called in Russian.
Is that right? Fools get lucky.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they only get lucky in the last episode, right? Well, the 96 episode. Okay, yeah, just a reminder before we go, buy me a coffee if you appreciate it. We will appreciate it for sure. Buymeacoffee.com / in that number. Just throw a pint at us or anything at us. Next week, we shall be discussing our trip to Stamford Bridge and previewing our game after the international break at home to Leeds. We'll also award the player and goal of the month for September. So look out for the polls in the week on Twitter.
Do you think we'll have good news to bring?
No, I've predicted a 3-1 loss.
We've got to stay optimistic, mate. Come on, this time next year we'll be Champions League.
I like it. Okay, but until then, up the Saints.
Bonjour and up the Saints.
Bonjour.
Up the Saints.
Up my Southampton.
What are you going on about, you dipstick? You dozy little twonk, Rodney!
We got some half-fast fan chants and tons of cheesy puns. TV parodies, lonies and birds and bees. Wife wars, wrong scores and even more. And add up some useless Russian phrases from the muster fucking mush. Mush, 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 mush. No Patreon, no access fee. No newsletter, no premium fee. Red and white to the core. We'll be back next week with more. Bless ITN, Viva ITN, long live ITN, say Trebien, ITN, Trebien, ITN, 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 ITN.
You stupid little Burke.